Ramsey TV.
There we go. Scaramouche. Will you do the Fandango? Will you? Or will you? No? Alright, then. Check. No? Okay. Check 1, 2, 3. Check. This has been a glorious week of shows. I'm very thankful for it. As I ended yesterday's show, saying how thankful I am to be in
this position of being able to broadcast these truths to so many people. And along that line, I mentioned on Monday the fact that six of us did a radio show in Cleveland in the summer of 1999 called Grace Cafe. And last Sunday, Rodney and I published the first hour of the last night of Grace Cafe. We did 25 shows, 5 weeks of broadcasting, live radio. Never done radio before at all, let alone live radio. So this was quite something. And if you watched that video last week, you heard a pretty remarkable segment where I read a piece I had written. The topic was, what if Jesus came back to a modern-day church, but he came back anonymously? What would he say to the Pharisees of this era? Because that's what they are. And I launched. And I'm going to play that segment for you today from Rodney's show, which he pieced together and edited brilliantly. With a little music, a little video, it's fabulous. But I want to give you the backstory. And then I'm going to end by giving you a bit of a state of the ministry address, give you the status of how things are, what's happening, and it's all good. In fact, it's astoundingly good. And it's because of you. So, again, it was the summer of 1999, and we were on our second to the last show, and we were closing our books after that show, and we were talking at the table about what we were going to do on our last show. And we decided that, we've been making waves here for 5 weeks. Let's just go out like a lamb. Let's just each give our testimonies how God brought us into the truth, and everybody thought that was a great idea. I thought it was a great idea at the time. There was a guy who was broadcasting with us who would come to our Bible studies in North Royalton. That was the seed plot of this whole enterprise. We were meeting twice a month at the home of Mike and Denise Tellup in North Royalton, Ohio. And it was Denise Tellup who said, hey, let's come on the radio. It's like, what? And before getting an agreement from any of us, she came back and saying, hey, I reserved 5 weeks. And we said, you did what? Yeah, I reserved 5 weeks. We're going to be on the air starting next week. Oh, we were astounded at that. But then somebody asked, how are we going to pay for it? Oh, we'll figure out that later. That's what Denise said. We'll figure out that later. Well, I put out the call I was publishing a newsletter at the time. I think I was doing broadcasts from I was not doing Zender Talk yet. I must have let it out on my newsletter that we needed help, and a brother in the faith came forward and paid for our radio time. So there we were, and we're going to go out like a lamb. We're going to do this nice little thing on the last day. So I went home, and I was really convicted that night. I said, we can't waste this radio time. Who wants to hear our testimonies? I said, we've got to go out strong. Oh, I know. I was just mentioning there was a guy at the table the night before named Kurt Downing. He was very agreeable to doing testimonies. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about him soon. So I go home and I'm thinking, nah. Really convicted. We got to go out with a bang. So I said, I think what I'm going to teach about, because I was always the one, you know, taking the lead. I brought the outline to the other folks before the show. I would say, okay, this is what I got in mind. This. We're going to do this. And then we were off to the races. No script, nothing rehearsed, but I did have an outline. I said, this is what I want to do. So I decided that I was going to teach on, just the fact that Christianity is of demonic origin and that they're teaching the teachings of demons. And then in the second hour, I think let's just talk about how Christianity is the beast of Revelation. That should go over pretty well. So I went to bed very satisfied. Oh, it's going to be a great show. Can't wait. So I get to the table. We usually got there 30 minutes before to do show prep. And everybody's smiling and happy, especially Kurt Downing. He's looking forward to the testimonies. And I said, well, you see, there's been a little change of plan. Oh, yeah, what's that? Well, we're going to teach about how Christianity is of demonic origin, and then we're going to go to the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to teach about how Christianity is the fourth beast, and thus it's the beast of Revelation. Everybody was like, what? We're going to do what? But they all roll with it. They all roll with it because they know me. Okay, Zender, if that's what you want, except for Kurt Downing. He was pissed. And this is 10 minutes before the broadcast. He says, you said we were going to do testimonies. I said, yeah, I honestly thought we were, but then I got convicted when I went home. I said, we can't waste this radio time telling stories. We got to give the truth. And he said, I told all my friends to listen to I said, I told all my friends to listen because I was going to give my testimony. We're all going to give our testimonies. I said, are they Christians? Yeah, they're Christians. Oh, shit. Well, I'm sorry about that, Kurt, but we're not going to do testimonies tonight. Oh, man, that poor guy. He got so pissed. He folded his arms, and for 2 hours, he would just put down his chin, and he was madder than hell. But I was not going to be dissuaded by that. So the show went on, and I cut loose. Now, what I'm going to show you right now is the part where I write a bit about how Jesus would come back and convict the Christian religion today. And the comparison is undeniable that I am calling Christianity the modern day Pharisees. So I'm going to show you the bit as this broadcast begins. I wish I had film of that meeting a half hour before the show. I really wish. Mind you, this is going to be live radio. So we're 10 minutes from going live. And I either have to acquiesce to make Kurt happy or I got to go for it. So I'm going to go for it. What happened after when we went to a commercial break? After what you're about to hear, something else remarkable happened. I get emotional about this. This was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. So here's the bit. And when we're finished here, I'm going to tell you what happened next.
Believe the scripture and not your tradition of men. There is a religious spirit out there, and it's operating in all realms, and it is the scriptures that we have to go to for our truth. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For in grace are you saved through faith, and this is not out of you. It is God's gift, not of works, lest anyone should be boasting, for his achievement are you, his achievement, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God makes ready beforehand that we should be walking in them. Now, if that doesn't tell you that He's in charge of all of it, you know you've heard these verses before, you know you've seen them before, but you had to fight the tradition that you were taught from the pulpit to actually believe them. Please strip off all of the religious teaching that you've taken and pray to God through His Holy Spirit that He would show you the truth that's already been written down for you in the Word of God. It is there. And everything that we are saying to you and have been saying to you for the last 5 weeks is true. It is hard, oh gosh, we know it's hard, but it is true.
You're listening to AM 1000 WCCD Radio, programming for the soul of the city. It's time now for Summer Nights, right here on WCCD. For the next 2 hours, we will take you inside of the heart of ministries and churches that are making an impact on the city of Cleveland. And now, with this week's featured ministry, here is the host of Summer Nights, right here on AM 1000, Ricardo Johnson.
Thank you, Eric, and welcome to this Friday edition of Summer Nights here on WCCD. It is the soul of the city. Glad to have you listening in. This is the last Friday for Grace Cafe. They've been with us for about 5 weeks, and some interesting discussion on the Word of God. And I tell you, we've had a great time. Salute to you guys. You guys have done a great job, and hope to talk to you soon and everything else, okay? Let's get back into what we got to get back into, you guys. Let's get into Grace Cafe right now, and Mike's back.
I'm going to turn the mic over to the lovely and talented Denise
Relief
Ivy Tellup.
Good evening, all. Well, we're glad you stayed with us. It's going to be very exciting tonight.
Are you a prophet?
No. Okay, yeah, I am a prophet. I got to see the notes of this thing ahead of time. So, okay, you know the rules. You got to have your scriptures. Got to have your notebook. Good to have your concordance. Sharp pencil. There will be no quiz tonight. And I would like to introduce, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him.
Well, you could.
Okay, you could definitely live without him. Martin Zender.
Hi, thank you, and I am glad to be back here. We've got a lot of teaching to get in tonight, and Mike and I are going to be duking it out for sure. We got to cram it in tonight. We're going to leave you full. We need 5 hours. We only got two. We're going to go for it. We're going to do it. So batten down your stained glass hatches. Go to the southwest corner of your room.
What, with all this confusion, what would happen if Jesus Christ returned to a church today? You guys remember what he told the religious leaders of his day? And this was a stunning thing to tell them. He said that you are doing what you hear from your father. They said, well, our father's Abraham. He answered to them, if you are children of Abraham, did you ever do the works of Abraham? Yet now you are seeking to kill me, a man who has spoken to you the truth, which I hear from God. This Abraham didn't do. You're of your father, the adversary. Jesus Christ said that to the priest. They said, are we not saying that you have a demon? The fur was flying. The religious leaders hated Jesus Christ for calling their work demonic. They could not believe anyone could possibly say that of them. They were the people. They were the leaders of the only religion on earth at that time that was looking for Messiah. But their work was satanic. Isn't that weird? It's more than weird. For all their robes and their perfume and their polished floors and prayers, their work was demonic. And he told them, you don't realize, I don't think, what a shock this was to tell the religious elite that their work was demonic. And their only recourse was to turn it on him and say, no, you have a demon. They told the Son of God that he had a demon. And listen, in religion, more than anything else, history repeats itself. Today, it's the Christian religion that is demon-inspired, the system. Were Jesus Christ to anonymously come back today and to teach of his accomplishments, I guarantee you that this religion, just like Judaism that preceded it, would give him the right foot of fellowship. Here it goes. Here he comes. He's coming in jeans. He's got a t-shirt, a pair of Reeboks. Nobody knows who this guy is. He comes into the building. You are doing what you hear from your father. He would say, they would say, our father is God. Our savior is Jesus. He would say, if you are children of Jesus, then why don't you honor him with your teachings? He came to save sinners. Yet you teach that millions of the very ones he came to save will not be saved because of their sin. John the Baptist said that the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Yet you say that sin is going to keep millions eternally separated from God. How can this be? If Jesus took away sin, salvation is of Jesus. Yet you teach that a man saves himself by his willingness to believe in Jesus. Thus, you are making salvation a thing of human willingness rather than of God. In your hearts, you condemn others for not being as wise as you, for not making it. Outwardly, you claim no credit for going to heaven. You say, we cannot boast. Yet of those whom you consign to hell, you think it's their own fault. Answer me, if it's their fault for going to hell, how is it not your credit for going to heaven? Boasting is of the heart. You are careful to keep the boasting from your lips, but your heart is full of it. You are whitewashed tombs. Outside you appear white and clean and humble, but inside you are distended with pride. Yet you are blind to it. You are blind to how the world sees you. You are blind to how even the world sees through you. In this, the world is wiser than you. In your blindness, you determine to make the world as blind as you. Then you call it evangelism. You travel the world to make a convert. When you have converted him, you make him twice a son of falsehood as yourself. Your gospel is more ghastly and cruel than anything he has ever heard or imagined. Before you came, he knew a measure of peace. After you have enlightened him, he has more fear than before. Now he's dangled over the precipice of hell, which you twist scripture to make a place of eternal torment, a thing it is not and never was. You do not read scripture rightly. You have not entered God's mind. You twist God's word to make it say what you want it to say. You claim to love God's word, yet you refuse to look closely and carefully at it. You teach what is passed on to you, teaching as truth the traditions of men. You do not ask God what is truth or come to his word to search it out. You are led by the blind. The blind seek truth for you. Through your work, it is Satan who has gained a convert, not God. Everywhere and at every opportunity, you unwittingly teach the opposite of truth. Yet because you affix your works with Christ's name, you think you are justified in all you do. You put the cross on your buildings, thinking you are esteeming Christ. Is Christ moved by your polished icons? Have your gleaming crosses brought the world to God? No, because countless have been tortured beneath your crosses. Not even the inquisitors could torture eternally. Yet you manage to accomplish this with your doctrines of demons. Fear, dread, and the threat of punishment are the essence of your gospel. Yet you disguise this with your festivals, your invitations to worship, your choirs, your shows of happiness. Your gospel is of Satan, yet you disguise it in the garb of Christ. You yourselves loathe to teach what you claim to believe. You are ashamed of your own beliefs. For every one of your converts, you repel 10,000 honest seekers. The world spots your hypocrisy and they run from it, yet you cannot see it. I say to you, tear down your icons and esteem Christ in your teachings. Then the whole world would be drawn to God. If you were truly children of the cross, you would esteem the accomplishment of the cross, which is the abolition of death, yet this you do not do. You are enemies of the very thing you claim to uphold, teaching as truth the lie that death, for those not of your religion, is eternal. Rouse from your sleep. What is the cross to you? What did it accomplish? Your doctrines nullify the work of the cross. Your gospel is the cross alone cannot save. It is a man's cooperation with the cross that saves. Thus, you make salvation dependent on human cooperation rather than Christ. Yours is a religion of the survival of the most cooperative. Yet you engrave on your plaques, salvation is by grace alone. Are you not hypocrites? Where is the grace in believe or be damned? And wouldn't they reply to him, are we not saying that you have a demon?
What all you said through all that, I know it's hard to have said that. It's something that needed to have been said. In love, we must speak the truth. That is what true love is speaking the truth. May he have given you ears to hear.
Well, we're living in an age of tolerance. We hear tolerance everywhere, tolerance, tolerance, and tolerance goes so far. It sure doesn't work with our children, does it? We can't tolerate everything. There has to be a line drawn, and it does come to a point where there is right and wrong. And the lines must be enforced. And we know that our children appreciate that in the long run when we enforce those lines. They want lines. They want to know right from wrong deep down. Though it hurts, they want to know, and we are doing them a favor and helping them. But it, as Hebrews chapter 12 says, when the Lord disciplines, it's not right away pleasant. It hurts, yet it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Peace, grace and peace, as Charlie always greets you from his microphone. Grace and peace to you from Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wow, I love that. I love it to this day, and I feel the same way to this day, and I wouldn't change one word of it to this day. And no doubt that this had not been our last, and you haven't even heard the last hour yet. Next week, or this Sunday, Rodney is going to broadcast the final hour, during which time I think Kurt might have come out. In the second hour, he might have unfolded his arms. I can't remember. Don't know what he's doing. I haven't talked to him in years and years. Good supporter of the work, though, but boy, didn't like that. But we went to a commercial break. And my wife and my sister had been in the lobby of the station. This was, if I haven't mentioned it, the largest radio station in Cleveland, Ohio. So my wife and my sister were in the waiting area, the lobby, but there was a speaker there, and they were listening to the broadcast. Even they couldn't see us broadcasting, but they were listening to it from the lobby. They rushed into the room. They had tears in their eyes, and they said, oh, my God, that was powerful. And I was shaking. Everybody at the table was like, my God. It was like, we're looking for the cops to show up. We're looking for Ricardo Johnson, the station, the producer. We're waiting for him to come in and just haul us out bodily. But I'll give the station credit for this. They were going to honor our contract. But if our contract had not been up that day, I am convinced that they would have ended our contract. Because on two occasions subsequent to this, doing radio, one time from Indianapolis on station WBRI, Dan Sheridan and I they finally listened to one of our shows after 116 shows, and they canceled the contract. They locked the doors. They called us and said we couldn't even go back into the studio to get our gear. They were going to mail it to us. We were fired. To hell with the contract. The same thing happened to us on WYLL in Chicago. We were kicked off the air, unceremoniously broke the contracts. The contract. Like I say, somebody finally listened to us, I guess, because we were going like bats out of hell. Bats out of Hades, bats out of Tartarus, whichever you wish there. But only because this was the last show were we not cut off. I believe that. So my sister and my wife come in and they're like, oh my God, that was amazing. We ended up doing the second hour of the show, which you're going to hear on Sunday. So we packed up our things. I apologized to Kurt. I mean, I tried to say something to him during the commercial breaks and he was not very receptive, but I think if I recall correctly, he's a good man. A true believer. He got over it and we were friends. But on the way home, I was on the way home with Marcia, and it took us an hour and a half to drive home from the studio to our home in Greenwich, Ohio. And I'm telling you, we saw something that I've never seen before and never seen since. Now, you know me. I'm not a Pentecostal guy. I'm not a signs and wonders and miracles guy. I've told you many times, I don't want to see any signs. I don't want to see any miracles. I don't want to see angels. I don't want to see anything until I'm snatched away. I like this faith thing, okay? This works for me for now. I like it. I like that I'm believing in things I can't see, haven't seen yet. That's good, because Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So I feel blessed. I don't want to see anything yet. But on the way home, saw something amazing. There was lightning. I mean, lightning like I've never seen before. Like every second, everywhere, all over the sky. I'm not exaggerating. For an hour and a half, nonstop, to the point where I got home and I called Ted. I said, did you see that? He goes, did you see that? I said, no, did you see it? I saw it. Did you see it? It was unbelievable. It was, again, I've never seen anything since then. Because we got home, it was dark, it was late, the show ended at 9, we packed up, we got out of there at 9:30, and as soon as we pulled out of the driveway of the station, boom, the lightning started, and it never stopped. And I honestly believe that God was sealing our work, and that the word had gone forth with power over those 5 weeks. The word of God had never gone forth on that freaking radio station. It's a Christian station. They talked about Christian things. They never talked about what we talked about. The origin of Satan, the salvation of all, the two gospels, God creating evil, the consummation, the glories of Christ. I mean, come on, nobody ever talked about what we talked about. And the word had gone forth, and we were faithful soldiers. And we went out of our way. Like I said, driving to that station on day one, I just wanted to turn around and go home. I was not up for it. Weak in flesh. Every day I was weak in flesh. I was weak in flesh when I did that bit you just heard, and I'm weak in flesh now. Weak in flesh before every single broadcast. But God did this, and he sealed it. And it was as if he were saying, my word has gone forth. You put it out there for the eons, and it will not return to me void. You may not see any results from it now, God said. And I really haven't, except that I'm thankful to Rodney Paris that I'm able to broadcast these shows that have been in a storage unit in Canton, Ohio for 25 years. I think one guy heard our shows and joined our Bible studies. One guy that we know of that we reached. But who knows how many other people we reached? Who knows? A potential listening audience of a million people or something like that. So, but that lightning was incredible. And it makes me think of today, because this is the same work all these years later. This is the same work that started in 1993. And the only reason we were able to broadcast on that station, 1100 AM, WCCD, the only reason we were able to broadcast is through the generosity of a brother in Christ. Denise booked the time without even thinking how we were going to pay for it. And when asked the question, she said, I don't know. Talk about calling what is not as though it were. Just call her Proleptic Denise. Brother in Christ came through. And you have come through for me consistently over the last 30 years. And we are doing something amazing. Think of this. We know we're in the last days. You know what that means? That means that we are finishing this. This is the final testimony to go out into the world before the return of Christ for his body. Think of this. Bookends. Paul started it. We are finishing it. We have been entrusted by God to finish this. For this, who is worthy? Who is able? Who is capable? It's a work of God from start to finish. I occasionally look at the statistics on this web channel, on this YouTube channel. And in the last 15 years, I started broadcasting on YouTube in 2008, which, by the way, I've never planned on doing. I never planned on broadcasting anything. I never planned on speaking at any time. I was a writer. And I thought I was going to just write about God. That's what I wanted to do when I quit the post office. And that's what I thought I would be doing. When Ted McDivitt asked me in the spring of 94 to give a talk at a conference again, I thought I would die. I told you that story. I went into the bathroom, knelt at the sink, prayed to God to get me through it. The only reason I could get out of that bathroom was God told me, not audibly, but they're not here to listen to you. They're here to listen to what God would have to say through you. And that's been the deal for 30 years. I've never forgotten that moment at the sink. So I never dreamed of being on YouTube. I never dreamed that today, over the last 15 years, these shows have garnered 3.25 million views. 3.25 million views. Not burning up the world, but this is a testimony concerning Paul's gospel and the deeper glories of Christ that has not gone out like this before. On Monday, again, I don't usually check these stats. Other people point them out to me. There were 4,909 subscribers, so coming up on 5,000 subscribers, which is amazing. And I've never looked at this stat in 15 years. I didn't even know this statistic existed. But I looked at it this week. And in the last 28 days, YouTube keeps track of everything. I don't have the wherewithal to keep track of everything. It's all I can do to produce the content, as I've told you many times. In the last 28 days, there were 1,839 returning views. People who came back and watched something else. 1,839. In that same time period, the last 28 days. Let me repeat that first stat. 1,839 returning views. In that same time period, there were 3,244 new views. New views. New people are hearing this. I don't know how. It was because of you. I do know how. I'm not sending anything out. I'm not linking anything. I'm not putting anything on social media. I hate social media. They tell me I have a website. They tell me I have a tweet page or whatever it is. They tell me I have all. I don't know. I've never been there. They tell me it's nice. But you do know about this, and you put my stuff out there. And because of you, this is getting out. And I hesitated to say this. I had it in my mind of something I wanted to say, and I hesitate even now to say it. But it's completely objective, and it's because of you and the internet. You know, in his lifetime, while he was alive, think of this, Paul never reached the number of people we're reaching. Never. Not even close in his lifetime. Mind you, we're all here because of him. And because of Timothy, to whom he passed the word on. For that matter, our Lord was the least successful evangelist in his day while he was alive. You know who the greatest evangelist was in his lifetime? Jonah. At the repenting of Jonah, 22,000 came to believe God. When Jesus was on earth, maybe 5, 6, 7,000 believed him. And they all ended up forsaking him. He was not a successful evangelist in his day. Obviously, don't even need to say this, but I'll say it anyway. We're all here because of Christ. It's what you do in the long haul, in the long run. But I'm talking about while these people were alive. As my friend Clyde always says, and I really took this to heart. He said this. I've never forgotten it. He said, those who went before us are dead, save for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank God. Paul is dead. Timothy is dead. Epaphroditus is dead. A. Enoch is dead. They're all dead. They can't do anything anymore. And he said, this is our hour upon the stage. This is our time to do something. We're not in the flesh. We're not acting in the flesh, but we're acting according to the prompting of the Spirit. And what we're doing is heralding the word opportunely and inopportunely, exposing, rebuking, and entreating with all patience and teaching. And because of this amazing thing called the internet, which A. Enoch never heard of, we're able to reach thousands and thousands of people with the true message. This is incredible. This particular message has not gone out to this extent in the last 2,000 years. That's the thing I hesitated to say. But I'm looking back and I'm thinking, because of the internet. We have the internet. They never had the internet. They had to do it the slow way. Travel by ship. A. Enoch had to go to the printing press and print his copies and mail them out. And that's how I started at first in 1993. I didn't have the internet either. I would produce 600 hard copies of my newsletter. I get my family together at the kitchen table, my wife and three kids. One of us would fold, one of us would staple, one of us would put the stamp, one of us would put the address label, the other one would put the return address label, and we were on assembly line, and that's how the truth got out from 1993 to 1998 or 99 or whenever. And then cassette tapes, you have to mail those, and then this crazy thing called the internet. And we are alive during this time. And we are reaching, think of this, we are reaching more people while we're alive than Paul reached while he was alive. And we have to strike, strike, strike. We have to keep doing it. If we're on the last lap of this race, then we cannot drop the baton. We cannot get tired. We cannot rest. We can't sit. Oh, we can get tired, but fatigue is not an excuse to stop. Discouragement is not an excuse to stop. No response is not an excuse to stop. But I'm giving you encouragement today to tell you people are watching and listening. And it's by the grace of God. And he's put me in this position in front of this microphone for whatever reason, only God knows. But behind me is an army of supporters, of people who love me and praying for me, and that's you. And that's you. And I can't thank you enough. You're backing the right horse. This is a race. It's not a bad analogy. I feel like an animal sometimes. I feel like just give me a couple, just give me some grains. I'll keep going. I'll keep going. I'm lame at this point. I got a couple broken legs, but too important. It's too important of a race. And if those people are predecessors, if they were alive, they're not. But if they were, they would be telling us, go, don't stop. Keep heralding. Bring it to as many people as possible. Our apostle said, I become all things to all people that I may be saving some. speaking relatively, the Lord did the saving, but he used the pen and the words, the strain, the sweat, the tears of Paul. And today, he's using our strain, sweat, weakness, trial, tears. Anybody who wants to support this work, you know how to do it. There's a link at the top of my page. No one is required to support this work. As always, that's never going to change. There's no requirements here. There's nothing to join. Nobody joins anything here. I don't even tell anybody to hit the freaking bell. I don't even tell anybody to subscribe. I never say any of this stuff. As I said, all I can do to put out the content. The rest, you're doing it. You're getting this word out. You're keeping me going. And for that, we are all going to corporately receive rewards from God at the dais of Christ. And we are going to meet our apostle there. And he is going to say to us, well done, at the end of the race. Wow. At the extremity of the apostasy, you people kept going. That's amazing. That's amazing. Paul's going to say that to us. Yeah. And then everyone will look to the inaugurator of our faith, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. None of us would be here without him. This message would not exist without him. The world would not exist without him. All honor, glory, praise be to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.